In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Mike Florio back with us. Pro Football Talk brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. I can see Mike eating a lot of those Italian Christmas cookies, like the rainbow colored ones.
Oh, I know those. Yeah.
The ricotta cookies are a big hit.
What is the best Italian Christmas community cookie, Mike? Or what is the best Christmas treat in your opinion?
You're giving me a flashback. My mom made the funkiest, nastiest Christmas cookies. And I think because she knew I would have eaten the entire collection of them in one sitting if she made stuff I like. That's my warm, fuzzy Christmas memory. My mom would spend all weekend baking, and I thought every single cookie she made was gross. However, there was a great story, neighborhood story. A friend of my mom's down the street was having a Christmas party and asked my mom to make a tray of her cookies. And like they were this huge hit, and the woman who hosted the party claimed she made the cookies, and that got back to my mom, and it was like a sitcom plot line, and it was a big, ugly, nasty mess, and that was great.
I feel fantastic. Like I can hear, as you tell that story, the Curb Your Enthusiasm music playing, Mike.
That is good stuff. Well, Mike, before we get into a lot of the Steelers stuff, I'm not going to ignore the elephant in the room, and that's a 44-year-old quarterback from Ben Roethlisberger's draft class signing with the Colts, Phillip Rivers, and a lot of the NFL media people seem to think he's actually going to start and play against Seattle this week. What's your understanding of what's going on there with him?
The timeline with how this all unfolded and the fact that the Colts didn't have a veteran behind Daniel Jones. They had rookie Riley Leonard and well-traveled for a reason, Brett Rypien. Jones exits Sunday with a season-ending injury. They bring in Rivers the next day. I think the moment Anthony Richardson, their first-round pick a couple of years ago, was lost for so far 8 weeks and counting due to a freak accident in the locker room with an exercise band, fractured an orbital bone. I think they decided then, you know what, we're not going to do anything. We're not going to make a trade. They had 3 weeks in the trade deadline still. And the emergency option, if Daniel Jones goes down, is call Phillip Rivers. Shane Steichen has known him for years. They apparently had been regularly in touch. That was their plan. And it was one of those things when the tweets started to come out, I thought somebody got hacked. I checked to make sure it wasn't one of those accounts where they just changed one letter, like an L to a 1 or something like that. I think there's no way Phillip Rivers is coming back, but I think he is going to play this weekend. They don't have to tell us, and they're not going to tell us, but I think they'll elevate him from the practice squad. The Browns did this with Joe Flacco a couple of years ago. He was their QB1. He wasn't even on the roster. Elevate him from the practice squad and let him play, and they're going to try to salvage their season. And good luck. They could get Peyton Manning in his prime. And this upcoming four-pack games, the Seahawks, the 49ers, the Jaguars, and the Texans, is going to be a tall order for the Colts to win. But, you know, they're rolling out the emergency option, and we'll see what happens.
If Phillip Rivers plays even, like, above-average football and gets the Colts to the playoffs, should he win comeback player of the year?
He's already installed as third at most of the major sports books in the odds making, and it'll drive the AP crazy. They clarified the comeback player of the year standard last year. They claim it wasn't a reaction to the DeMar Hamlin situation. I tend to think it was, but it's supposed to go to somebody who overcomes some sort of adversity, typically injury related to prior year. There's no adversity whatsoever that Phillip Rivers is overcoming other than not playing. But I think he'll get some votes. Joe Flacco showed up very late in 2023, and he did enough taking the Browns to the playoffs to win it. I think if the Colts get to the playoffs, you're going to have people voting for Phillip Rivers. And it goes five deep. He'll be one of the five on all 50 ballots if he takes the team to the playoffs.
Mike, Jerry Dulac in a Post-Gazette chat was asked about Art Rooney's awareness that Steelers fans are not really pleased with the product that's been on the field this year. And Jerry's response was that he talks to Art frequently, and then said about fan anger and apathy that it probably doesn't register with the owner because they're one of only three teams that have been in first place since week one. Now, that's actually not accurate. The Steelers were not in first place in week two, but the point being, the owner is pretty much telling his favorite media mouthpiece that Steelers fans shouldn't complain about a team that's for the most part been in first place all year. What's your take on that, that the owner still believes that everything that's gone on here this year is fine and dandy?
I think it's ridiculous to act like the Bills game didn't happen, that the Fire Tomlin chant didn't occur, that the booing during Renegade wasn't real. Now, they're fortunate they won because it would have been an ugly mess on Monday night if they had lost to the Ravens or had looked as bad as they did the week before. But if this thing goes off the rails Monday night against the Dolphins, who knows what kind of chants we're going to hear? Who knows how loud it's going to be? But if the owner is just living in some delusional dream world, that's not good for anybody. Like, the owner's got to be as plugged in as anyone, and maybe he's just trying to speak that reality into existence, that the fans just sit down and shut up because the team's in first place. I'd love to think at some level he isn't completely missing the point here. You've got to have your finger on the pulse of the fan base. And after that Bills game, during that Bills game, the fan base was as close to torches and pitchforks as they've been in years.
How much of it, Mike, do you think could be that Art doesn't want to self-implicate in any kind of public way here? Because, I mean, you've told us many times, I think you're like the biggest believer or biggest advocate of the idea that he is very involved in what they do, even though they try to obscure the level of involvement. And Pony floated the theory that he's not going to say something to Jerry Dulac about, yeah, you know, it hasn't been the season we've wanted, because that would just be pointing the finger back at himself for many of their ills.
Yeah, that's a good point. But if the owner is going to be involved in anything, it's knowing when it's time to make a coaching change. Even the most non-meddling owner is going to be involved when the fan base is on the verge of a revolt and something needs to be done in the best interest of the team. So I think it's more of a PR pep talk aimed at getting the fans to view the glass as half full, not half empty or more than half empty and, you know, evaporating quickly. It all comes down to whether or not they make the playoffs and they successfully kick the can to next year, or they win, what do they need, two out of the last three, and it's the 22nd straight non-losing season, an NFL record. I think that is where it all comes down to, and they're in a position after winning last week that they can manage to go out 2-2 and finish 9-8.
Mike, the officiating decisions in Sunday's game, how much of those were egregious enough or questionable enough based on more so the rule book maybe in the likely case than anything? Like, was that a big enough spotlight on a game where we could actually see the NFL make changes off of what happened in Steelers-Ravens this past weekend?
This whole thing is fascinating because there were three very controversial calls. The league's already admitted privately to the Ravens, but authorized them to say so, that the roughness call on the field goal that came off the board and became a touchdown on the next play, that was a penalty that shouldn't have been called. That was a mistake. That was encouraging that they did that. As it relates to both the likely non-catch and the Aaron Rodgers air quotes catch that should have been an interception, it really opens Pandora's box on two separate things. One, the proper application of the catch rule that we thought the NFL had figured out. In one fell swoop, they reintroduced confusion into something that we thought was settled. And my understanding is, from talking to someone who understands very thoroughly and intimately how this process works, what happened was, you know, when they changed the rule the last time and seemingly fixed it, one of the things they added was if you get a third step down, you have sufficiently completed the process. That whole football move thing was something that had caused all sorts of confusion going back to the Dez Bryant catch that was reversed on replay review, and that should not have been, in other confusing situations. That third step now is the thing. It's undeniable. We don't have to try to figure out, did the guy tuck the ball? Did he ward off an opponent? Did he extend the ball? We don't have to look at any of that. The third step, that's it. It's done. Here's the problem. They're focused on the third step now, and they're forgetting all the other stuff. Because I think if we look at it objectively, if we take off the fan hat and we just look at it, Isaiah Likely extended the ball and he attempted to ward off the opponent, and he had enough time to make a football move in the end zone. That should have been a catch. Rodgers was going to the ground when he had his hands on the ball. If you're going to the ground, you have to survive the act of going to the ground. He didn't. The ball was taken away from him. That should have been an interception. And here's the bigger problem. Replay review is ignoring the standard, the clear and obvious standard. The league office has gone rogue, and they are overturning calls without giving the deference that the replay standard requires. Both of the rulings on the field, one was interception, one was touchdown. There wasn't clear and obvious evidence to overturn those calls. That's a separate problem that the league needs to address. So I don't know where this goes from here, but they have made this thing much more confused, much more convoluted, and now going forward, who the hell knows what is and isn't a catch, and who knows what they're going to do on replay review, because clear and obvious has quietly exited the building.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Mike, one other curious thing that got football fans nationally in an uproar, and I know the NFL is acutely aware of how many people gamble on the sport and how much money changes hands. This Pete Carroll decision to kick a field goal when the game
was
quite literally over, down 24-14, there is no mathematical way, there's no physically possible way the Raiders can win. He kicks a field goal that both covers the spread and hits the over and swings massive amounts of money in two separate directions based on what people bet. What is the NFL's maybe stance that you're aware of on stuff like that? Because you can make an easy argument. There's absolutely no reason to do anything other than heave a ball towards the end zone at least, but certainly not just kick a field goal so you only lose by seven.
I need to go back and watch the end of that game because I think there's some plausible argument to be made that if there's one tick left on the clock, you get an onside kick, you got a chance for a Hail Mary, but it's a 0.00001% shot.
No, the kick was attempted, I believe, when there were only like 3 seconds left. So I thought all the time rolled off
over.
After. Yeah, yep. The game was over.
Yeah, there was not a play after that field goal. It was over.
Here we go. This is what the NFL has accepted for itself. In 2012, when the NFL hated gambling, the commissioner said if you have widespread legalized gambling, normal incidents of the game will be viewed by some as evidence that the fix is in. Things that are normal, things that happen all the time, we're going to think, wait a minute, something's up here. This is a prime example of something that is going to cause people to say something's up. And when they realized how much money they could make off of gambling, they ignored what Goodell said 13 years ago. They act like he never said it, and they just keep their head in the ground. Anytime something like this comes up, they just completely and totally ignore it and weather the storm and wait for the next bright, shiny object to distract us from that thing. And they're lucky it happened in a game that very few people were paying attention to. Bears-Packers was happening. The Raiders aren't a competitive team. If that had been a primetime game or one of those 425 games with two playoff teams, it would have been a much bigger mess. This is a prime example of what happens when you jump into bed with gambling. Stuff that otherwise wouldn't be viewed as a big deal. People are going to say something was going on here. And in all places, it happened in Las Vegas, where they never would have allowed a team. They never would have entertained playing football. That was where they shut down a fantasy football convention Tony Romo was going to hold at a hotel that didn't even have a casino in it.
Yep.
Yeah. So they have dramatically. I mean, I thought when the NFL decided to do business with sportsbooks, the commissioner would resign because the things he had said in the past were completely and totally irreconcilable with this new reality. But they just ignored it. It's a great PR play. They just ignored it and they kept going, and very few people ever say boo about it.
Mike, thanks so much. Go make some Christmas cookies. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.